Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Time is 9:36. Got to have the official clock, you know. March 24th, 2020. With me today, Senator Bishop, Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Wilson, Senator Wilkowski. We've got two items on the agenda today. They're both bills previously heard. First up will be House Bill 197, Extend the Seismic Hazard Safety Commission. And we'll be looking for the will of the committee. And then we're going to take up House Bill 41, Shellfish Enhancement. We'll have some work on that, then we'll set that aside and probably come back. We'll recess and probably come back this afternoon. So with that, I'd like to bring up House Bill 197. Extend Seismic Hazardous Safety Commission. The first hearing and public testimony was March 19th of this year. We've had it sitting on the table for several days. And do we have committee men that have any questions, concerns, or want further discussion on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Wilkowski, you have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House. Let's see,
House Bill 197.
Yeah, I was looking to see if there's yes. House Bill 197, out of committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay, we have a motion to move House Bill 197, version A. Individual recommendations, attached fiscal notes. Do we have objection moving the bill? Seeing none, we'll move the bill from the committee to the next committee referral. Next up, House Bill 41, Shellfish Enhancement. First hearing and public testimony was on February 2nd, 2020. If we could have the representative from the most southern area of the state come forward, please. If he can introduce himself for the record, give the committee a brief overview of the bill as a reminder, because we've been very busy lately dealing with multiple other issues. And then we'll start the process here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dan Ortez. I represent Southern Southeast Alaska, District 36. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for allowing me to bring forward House Bill 41 again to this committee today. Just as a reminder, Mr. Chairman, this bill is an enhancement of Alaska shellfish industry. It holds the potential of expanded economic opportunities in Alaska's coastal communities and increased resilience of the state's fisheries portfolio. To tap this potential, House Bill 41 allows qualified nonprofits to pursue enhancement and/or restoration projects involving shellfish species, including red and blue king crab, sea cucumber, abalone, and razor clams. The bill creates a regulatory framework with which the Department of Fish and Game can manage shellfish enhancement projects and outlines criteria for the issuance of permits. It sets out stringent safety standards to ensure sustainability and health of existing natural stocks. The commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game must also make a determination of substantial public benefit before a project can be proceed. In addition, Mr. Chairman, the bill allows the Department of Fish and Game to set the application fee for a shellfish enhancement project permit and grants the similar authority over the application fee for a salmon enhancement project permit. House Bill 41, Mr. Chairman, plays an important role in the development of mariculture in Alaska by providing a method to increase the available harvest of shellfish for public use in an environmentally safe and responsible manner. And thank you for allowing me to put this forward before the committee again today.
Thank you, Mr. Ortiz, Representative Ortiz. We have a CS, committee substitute bill. Senator Bishop, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move conceptual amendment number one.
Oh, hold it. We're going to take a brief at ease. Record, yeah, please, we can go to Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee adopt Senate CS for CS for House Bill 41 Finance / O as our working document.
And I will object for discussions. And if we can have Mr. Scott, who's one of the committee aides on legislation, he's already jumped in the hot seat, if you could walk through the CS for the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, staff to Senator Stedman and the Senate Finance Committee. Version O in front of the committee today. You have an explanation of changes. You should also have like a one-pager, what I call an abridged sectional, so you could look at a visual of what was added to the CS. So it's sections 7 through 10, and that could be found on pages 10 through 11 of the bill. That allows ASME to market aquatic farm products.
Could you please define what that is?
ASME is the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Thank you.
Section 13, which could be found on page 14, this is an annual report from DNR to the legislature regarding aquatic farm leases, their status, how long they've taken since submission, how long they've had to be reviewed by another department, namely Fish and Game.
And that's Natural Resources?
The Department of Natural Resources is DNR, correct. Sections 14, 15, 16, and 17 deal with lease renewal in the Department of Natural Resources. I should note that these sections were brought to us last year in talks with DNR, and these sections have also turned into a bill that is now in the committee, and that is HB 116. Also in section 17, we should note section 17, which is on page 15, this allows for ecotourism and educational uses that are currently prohibited, but will allow ecotourism education on 083 permits, and 083 permits are the aquatic farming permits. There is, in that section 17, there is a section, little clause in there that establishes a one-year time limit for Department of Natural Resources to grant or deny a lease application. This has come under, they have a lot of concern with that, Mr. Chairman, and there is, if it's the will of the committee, there is a conceptual amendment for that that will take care of that and remove that section. The last section 21, this is an uncodified law, and this is, it's asking for a one-time report from Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Fish and Game to give the legislature recommendations on how to streamline the permitting process.
That. I'll go ahead and remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have any further objection to the adoption of the CS?
Not an objection, Mr. Chair. Question, if I could.
Okay, we're going to go through that whole process. Do you want to adopt the CS first, or do you want to?
I was just curious what the definition of aquatic farm products was. It looks like something
Mr.
new.
Scott, can you help the committee with the that definition, please?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chairman. That definition can be found in AS 1640-199. I could read it for the record. I could also
go ahead and read it for the record.
Read for a record. Aquatic farm product means an aquatic plant or shellfish, or part of an aquatic plant or shellfish that is propagated, farmed, or cultivated in an aquatic farm and sold or offered for sale.
Senator Wilkowski.
And I just appreciate that. I just was looking for it, didn't see it. This is not salmon fish farms. Just wanted to get that on the record.
I'll call on you, please. We have some order here. Go ahead and answer the question, please.
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, no, this has nothing to do with fin fish farming. Fin fish farming is still prohibited in Alaska, and that can be found in 1640-210.
Thank you. Okay, so I've removed my objection to the adoption of the CS. We have further objection to adoption of the CS. Seeing none, the CS is adopted, and then I think we'll have
question.
Yes, do you want them to walk through the bill first or have your question first?
I'll let him walk through the bill. But
okay. Yeah, if we could kind of walk through the bill, and then we're going to have questions and discussion. And again, for the committee members, we're going to set this bill aside. So there may be other input, and there may be some more questions that you have or what have you, and possibly amendments. All the committee members understand the process. This isn't, we're not going to put this bill on the table, do a big CS, and then move it off the table in 10 minutes. That's not going to happen here. Mr. Scott, if you could please walk through the bill, and then we'll take committee men's questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 1, the Board of Fish may direct the Department of Fish and Game to manage enhanced shellfish stocks for cost recovery project. Section 2 is a change in the application fee for hatchery permits. Section 3 conforms to Section 2 in that hatchery permit application fees will be set by regulation that will equal regulatory costs, and this will be annually reviewed. Section 4 is the main section of the bill. It adds a new chapter to Title 16, and I could go through that. So the new chapter in Title 16, 16-12-010, Commissioner of Fish and Game may issue permits for nonprofit corporation or a shellfish enhancement project. Section includes permitting process, rules, and fees. 16-12-020, prior to permit approval, there will be a public notification, a public hearing, and a comment period. 16-12-030, requirements on the permit holders. 16-12.
Just slow down a little bit.
Sorry. 16-12.
Slow down and stop, please. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is go through this, give the committee members time to turn their pages and reference the page, please.
Right.
I want the committee members to follow along with this bill in case they have further input that may be needed.
Where we're at now, Section 4 begins on page 2. And we are now on 16-12-030. That's on page 4. This is the section that deals with the requirements of permit holders once they get the permit. 16-12-040, that's on page 5. This is a permit revocation, suspension, or alteration section. 16-12-050, this is also on page 5. This is enhanced shellfish stocks are a common property of the state, and the Board of Fish may regulate. 16-12-060. That is on page 6 at the top. The Department of Fish and Game shall advise and assist applicants and permit holders to a reasonable and appropriate extent.
Okay.
16-12-070. That's also on page 6. Fish and Game shall approve source and number of shellfish taken for brood stock. 16-12-080. We're still on page 6. This limits the proceeds from the sale of shellfish to operating cost, shellfish enhancement process, and shellfish research. 16-12-090, we're still on page 6. This is the cost recovery fishery for common property fishery. That's a long section. Moving to 16-12-100. This is on page 9. Department of Fish and Game can inspect a project facility at any time. 16-12-110. We're on page 9. This is an annual report from Fish and Game. And finally, for section 4, 16-12-199 is the definitions. That is on page 9. Section 5, which is on page 9, this is where CFEC will issue a special harvest area permit to 16-12 permit holders, and the 16-12 permit holders are the shellfish enhancement. Section 6, we are on page 10. This is where the Board of Fish authorizes the use of gear for this in the special harvest area, and how they will harvest for cost recovery. That is on page 10. Section 7, this is the first section of the of four sections that allow ASME, which is the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, to market aquatic farm products. So seven, what seven does is...
Hold a second. Senator Hoffman.
My question is in relation to the funding for marketing, because we, the fishermen tax themselves and give that those funds to ASME to market. How are the marketing promos going to be funded by ASME?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. That is a question that we that did come up in discussions with ASME. ASME is also online and can answer answer that question. The ASME is concerned at some point in the future. They do believe that we will have to have a self-assessment on these new permits that we're allowing, the 1612 permits.
So let's have them finish walking through the bill. We'll come back to that question. I think Senator Wilikowski also has some questions, and then we'll work through the questions and the discussion, and then we'll come. We have an amendment also. So then we'll, after we get that, then we'll come to the amendment. So we'll, and then the ASME folks online can think about how they're going to answer that question. Go ahead, Senator.
Moving on to sections 8 and 9, those are on page 11. Mr. Chairman, those conform with section 7 to allow ASME to market aquatic farm products. And section 10, Mr. Chairman, is the definition of aquatic farm product, and I previously read that on the record. Section 11, which is on page 11, this exempts shellfish that are under 1612 permits from the farm fish food labeling requirement.
Okay.
Section 12 begins on page 11. This adds the hatchery permit fees and the permit fees and the 1612 permit fees to the list of program receipts. Section 13, it's a long section. It begins on page 12. The change is, however, on page 14, beginning on line 16. This is the report, the annual report from DNR regarding applications for aquatic farm site leases.
Department of Natural Resources.
Department of Natural Resources. Section 14, this adds 083 leases, which are the aquatic farm lease sites, to the eligible list of leases that the director of the Divisioning of Mine, Land, and Water in the Department of Natural Resources allows the director to renew these once, a one-time renewal. Instead of, as it is right now, Mr. Chairman, a person who has a lease, when that lease expires, they will have to go through the whole application process again, which is a very long, it could be years. And this would allow the director of the Division of Mine to renew. That was on page 14. Turning to page 15, we have sections 15 and 16 conform to section 14. It removes the renewal from the 083 permits. Section 17 allows the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources to extend those leases one time as well. This is also the section that has I mentioned a one-year time limit to grant or deny the lease application, and that section is on page 15, it's lines 19 through 22. This will be removed if the amendment is accepted. Also in this section 17, which is on page 15, on line 23 is where we allow holders of 083 permits, aquatic farm permits, to use the site for ecotourism or educational purposes. There's a number of aquatic farmers in the area of Alaska where we live, southern southeast, that they're finding a lot of interest from tourists coming to Alaska that they want to see their sites, they want to see how it is, whether kelp's growing or are shellfish like oysters and clams and stuff, and they want to be able to do that. And then with educational purposes, Sea Grant has been, we have somebody who's like to work with Sea Grant to bring college students, high school students to these places, to these aquatic farm sites. And currently they're not allowed to do that. Section J of that same, section 17J, which is on line 26 through 28, would prohibit Department of Natural Resources from charging additional use fees other than the permit fees. Section 18, which just begins on line 15, this is the nonprofit income tax exemption for the 1612 permit holders. Section 19, we're on page 16 now, on line 13, section 19. This is the non-profit tax exemption again. The reason this section is in there again is the underlying section has a sunset. And in order for the non-profit tax exemption for 1612 permit holders, it needs to be rewritten or duplicated. Yes. Section 20, which is on page 16. This exempts shellfish harvested under a CFEC special harvest permit from the seafood development tax exemption, or exempts them from the seafood development tax, sorry. Section 21, this is on page 16. This is the one, this is the beginning of the, and it goes over to page 17. This is the one-time report from Department of Natural Resources and Department of Fish and Game. It's a one-time report to offer recommendations on how to streamline permitting process improvements. I should note on page 17, lines 11 through 13, there's an amendment to remove that subsection 3, subparagraph 3, if it's accepted. I didn't think it had to do with monetary investments and jobs, and it had to do with making DNR making educated guesses, and it was felt that that should be removed. Section 22, which is on page 17. This is the applicability of section 2. Section 2 is the it's where they're changing the application fees for hatchery permits. They're making the change from a set fee in law to a fee structure where it will pay for their costs, their regulatory costs, and they will be renewed annually. Section 23 on page 17, it's regulatory authority for Department of Fish and Game. Section 24 is the immediate effective date for section 23, which was the regulatory. Section 25, we're on the last page, page 18, Mr. Chairman. Section 25 is the effective date of the one-year time limit, section 17. This will be removed. And section 26 is the delayed effective date for section 19, which is the sunset of the underlying section I previously talked about.
Okay, so I'll remove my objection. I can't remember if I did that or not yet, so days have been flying by. So I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the CS. Any further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing none, this is our working document in front of us. I'd like to go ahead and open it up for discussion of the committee men. We have an earlier question by Senator Hoffman, and we have Jeremy Woodrow online from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Senator Hoffman, could you please restate your question so the representative from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute can respond?
Thank you. As you are well aware, the salmon fishermen tax themselves for promotions with ASME, and I want to continue that program, but I don't think that those fishermen should subsidize any other marketing. So my question is, why are we putting ASME in marketing of shellfish if there are no revenues to do so, or where are those revenues going to come from? So that's my primary question. regarding giving ASME the authority to market them. Where is that marketing money going to come from?
Mr. Rudrow, if you could help the committee with that answer and explain that situation to us, please.
Yes, can you hear me fine?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Stedman and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow, Executive Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Senator Hoffman, through the chair, you bring up a great question. That's one that has been discussed in length. I just want to point out that the ASME bylaws clearly state that priority is given to those who pay into the voluntary self-assessment. So the priority will continue to be given to the wild capture fisheries that currently pay into the ASME assessments. When this was brought to the ASME board last fall, we had many discussions with the Mariculture Task Force here in the state of Alaska about what does the mariculture industry need right now? And it's such a small industry, it really is in its infancy, that there really isn't much of an industry to self-assess right now. And the ASME board agreed that it made sense to change these statutes right now without a funding mechanism, knowing that there are numerous opportunities for federal grants coming down the pipe, and that it would make sense to add these powers to ASME now and allow us the ability to apply for federal grants in cooperation with the Mariculture Task Force and use those federal grants to help them market.
So my question then is, would there be any objection that leaving the marketing for them in this particular piece of legislation, but saying that the funds that are charged by the salmon industry will not be utilized for shellfish marketing.
Go ahead, Mr. Woodrow, can you help further?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair. That gets into it gets into a tricky area the way that ASME currently uses its funding. Right now, we do not divvy up the funding depending on species that pay in. If you look at the way that ASME's assessment right now is, created, about 50% is comprised of pollock and salmon, but we do not dedicate 50% of our efforts toward those two species alone. So we look at it holistically, and I don't know if the board would. I think that's something that needs to come before the ASME board if they want to start divvying up how we use our assessments.
Because I think I would have to check with the fishermen in Bristol Bay if they would agree with your current assessment and leaving that door wide open, which may not be addressed for many years to come. But I assume that their response is going to be, no, we're paying our way, and that's why we intended to tax our fishermen so that we could market our salmon.
So, Mr. Woodrow, does ASME, the Seafood Marketing Institute, has some of their members been involved in discussion on this subject, and do you have any documentation of support?
Senator Stedman, yes, this was brought forth to the ASME board on November 21st last year, and a motion was passed unanimously to support change to the ASME statutes that would include powers to market aquatic farm products. So they are supportive of this version as you're working on for you.
My question isn't whether the ASME board supports it. I'm sure they do. My question is whether or not the salmon fishermen in the state of Alaska support it, leaving it open-ended, or would they rather have that revenue source that they're paying excluded from use for marketing for shellfish. Have you gotten any from the numerous salmon associations throughout the state of Alaska supporting that?
Can you help,
Senator Senator Hoffman, through the chair, we have not reached out to the fisheries to the salmon organization specifically. I'm more than happy to reach out to BBRSDA, Copper River, Prince William Sound Marketing Associations, who have obviously a more direct line to their membership and see what their opinions are.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Wilikowski had an earlier question. Do you have another one, or do you want further definition on the definition?
I just had a question for fish and game when we get to that, Mr. Chairman.
I think we're at that point. Go ahead, Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. My first question is just regarding page 3, lines 5. It's augmenting the yield and harvest of shellfish indigenous to state water. And I'm just curious, does this bill allow shellfish indigenous to one part of Alaska to be transferred to another part of Alaska?
So we have a question, and we have online the director of the Division of Commercial Fisheries, Sam Hubberg. If you could pronounce his name, of course, correctly, because the chairman just butchered it, and then help us with the answer to Senator Wilikowski's question, please.
Thank you, Chairman Stedman. For the record, my name is Sam Raybung, and I'm the director of the Commercial Fisheries Division, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Senator Wilikowski, through the chair, we have a genetic policy that applies to finfish that we prohibit transport of indigenous stocks around the state. We require the use of local stocks. We will apply that principle to all species, and we have to date applied that to all species with one exception, and that is with gooey duck, which are allowed to be transported contiguous to the Gulf of Alaska.
You have follow-up questions, Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, just an overall question, and it's a question I ask on every one of these types of cases, bills. And it's just, have any of the scientists or biologists at Fish and Game expressed any concerns over this bill?
Through the chair. So certainly we've expressed some concern, and that is ensuring that we have the safeguards in place. And to be clear, that every time there's a permit application, it will be reviewed by biologists, pathologists, geneticists before a recommendation is made to the commissioner on whether to approve it or not. So it'll be built into the process. So passing this statute does not automatically mean a permit will be issued. They are issued on a case-by-case basis based on the appropriateness of the plan.
Does the Fish and Game have a position on this bill?
I've been told by this administration that we are neutral.
Yeah, we don't, in this business, we only have a red and green button. We don't have the neutral button, unfortunately. Senator Wilikowski.
Just to clarify, and do you believe that you have the resources and the tools available to make sure that, I guess, the native species in the area are protected, and that this is not going to cause something detrimental to the ecosystem?
Through the chair, yeah, that'll be our main charge. That'll be the main thing that we concern ourselves with each and every one of these applications as they arise, just as it is today when we issue these similar permits for research and educational projects, and also the Salmon Fishery Enhancement Program that we've been operating since 1972, and the Aquatic Farm Program, which currently allows culturing of these organisms around the state under positive control.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just was wondering if anyone from DEC is on the line.
DEC. I don't see anybody from DEC. Got Department of Natural Resources and Fish and Game.
Okay, and I asked that, Mr. Chairman, if I could continue.
Go ahead.
Because they do the testing of the shellfish, and it seems that it's during the subcommittee process with DEC, Department of Revenue, DNR, and fisheries, that they all have an impact on sort of this aquatic or mariculture industry or shellfish, and with ASME within this, and it's hard to see what the total revenues are as a whole state with the expenses of running this industry, and we're attempting to get a hold of that, and it's really hard to sort of also to play upon Senator Hoffman's question of if the shellfish industry is really worried about paying into the testing of it and the affordability of the testing. I just worried about some of the affordability and how that's going to work with the marketing and continuation of this industry, and just trying to see with the total, with it all, just trying to get a bigger picture of it, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ortiz, there's no one online to help with the senator's question. Do you have any assistance or any comments on his question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, Senator Wilson. Certainly, the funding aspect of both the testing and the permitting has been, that's received a lot of attention and a lot of discussion, and I think one of the things that the committee needs to keep in mind is that we are talking about an industry that is just up and coming. It's just beginning. It's just burgeoning. And I think that the overall sentiment is that the state needs to be a facilitator in that process, because the prospects of the industry are limitless, certainly in terms of the market for these types of products. But we do need to put into place both the regulatory framework and the initial, for lack of a better word, economic supports, if you will, to get the industry up and running. And once it is up and running, then I don't think there's going to be any question that the revenue will be sufficient for these businesses to be an active participant in even more and more participating in the fees that are generated. In other words, they'll self-assess themselves and move forward to become more and more of a payer in the process, because they'll have the revenue and they'll have the resources available to do that. So I guess what I'm saying is that in this initial phase, I think there's a recognition by all the parties involved that the state needs to be on board to facilitate wherever possible to get this industry up and running, which might include some initial outlay that, you know, in terms of permitting and in terms of testing and those kinds of things, that in the future will likely be covered by the industry. Does that make sense?
Senator Wilson.
It does, Mr. Chairman. I just want to explain the complexity of this industry, because it is touched by, I think, four or five different departments within the state of Alaska, and it's just a hard to try to get a global picture of the seafood, shellfish, maritime culture industry.
Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think somebody for the Mariculture Task Force, I believe Julie Decker might be online, and she might be able to add into this equation. If you,
we're going to, the public testimony portion is over. I think if the question isn't answered to your specifications or interest, Senator Wilson, we'll have time for you to get with the bill sponsor and the department and get a more direct answer on that subject before we bring it back. If we'll have just a brief at ease. Record. Thanks for the indulgement here of the quick break. We have other questions before Representative Ortiz has to run out the door and be relieved by his trusty aide. Okay, so Representative Ortiz, we'll let you out of the firing line. We'll have your aide come forward to defend your district and your bill as we move to the amendment process.
Thank you.
We have
Mr.
amendment
Chairman,
number one.
Committee.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
I'll object for discussion. Amendment number one, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. This is a conceptual amendment number one. It's page two, line 23. Page.
We'll have a brief at ease. We're back on the record. Mr. Scott, you want to speak to this amendment, explain to the committee members, and take questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you see on the amendment, conceptual amendment number one, there's actually six amendments. The first three amendments are from the Department of Fish and Game, and the last three are from the Department of Natural Resources. So if you go to page the first amendment on page two, line 23, we remove regulatory and we add permit application processing. And so that it makes that, and if you read the sentence out, which I can do, so the fees collected under this section to approximately equal the department's permit application processing costs rather than their regulatory fees. The second amendment is on page two, line 25, and that also removes regulatory. So it's just, it will read department costs under this chapter. The third part of this amendment is on page five, line 28. And I can also say, Mr. Chairman, these are all at the request of both departments of Fish and Game and DNR. Page five, line 28, in front of brood stock, we insert the term wild, so it'll read the source of wild brood stock. Moving now to the DNR changes on page 14,
Department of Natural Resources.
Department of Natural Resources changes on page 14, line 30. This was an inadvertent addition that came through. And upon review with the Department of Natural Resources, we're removing this, and this will now make this section, section 14, will be identical to what is in House Bill 116, which, and this is referring to the renewal process for 083 permits, which are the aquatic farm permits. This comes from Department of Natural Resources. On page 15, lines 19 through 22, delete all material. As I mentioned earlier, this is the one-year requirement for the commissioner to approve or deny a permit or a lease permit. And this felt DNR had a lot of issue with this, and so it was felt best to remove that section. On page 17, line 10, this is the last part of this amendment. Page 17, lines, not 10, but lines 11 through 13, those are also removed. This is in the one-time report from Fish and Game and Department of Natural Resources to the legislature, and it felt that this request of them in that one-time report is just not appropriate. Is removed at their request.
Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my adoption to the conceptual amendment number one to the CS. Do we have further objection to the adoption of amendment number one?
Just a question, Mr. Chairman, if I could.
Okay. Well, Senator Wilikowski.
I'm just curious if is there any impact to the fiscal note from any of these proposals?
Due to the chair, Senator Wilikowski, if the fifth part of this amendment did not go through, which is on page 15, lines 19 through 22, if we do not accept that, there will be a very large fiscal note.
Can you give us a little bit more background on that?
Through the chair, or Mr. Chairman, so that section would require Department of Natural Resources and the folks at their permitting shop to accept or to deny or approve a 083 permit, and it was felt that I don't want to say punitive, but it was felt by the department that this is just it was too much. They don't have the folks there to do it. They would have to hire several other positions in order to meet a timeline set by the legislature.
We're going to go to the fish and game here for further response to that. Senator Wilikowski, would that help?
Yeah, I was just curious why a year seems like a long time. I don't know why it would take them longer than a year, but I'm curious what they have to say on that.
Okay, if we can go to the fish and game. Director?
Thank you, Senator Stedman. This portion of the bill pertains to the Department of Natural Resources. It would not affect the Department of Fish and Game permitting.
Okay, you're off the hook. We'll go to the Department of DNR, Department of Natural Resources, Christy Collis.
Good morning. Thank you, Senator Stedman. For the record, my name is Christy Collis. I'm the Chief of Operations for the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Mining, Land, and Water. Senator, through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, so the reason that a year seems like a long time, but we have a large backlog currently of applications, and these applications must go through a public process, and that can take quite a bit of time to get through, and due to the backlog and the fact we just got two new adjudicators that will be processing these applications, so once we get down to I would say a more reasonable level of applications. Right now we're at 41. We would be able to get these out quicker, but this section would concerns us because if we can't get to an application in a year, because we have to go through a public process under required in statute under 945, if we weren't able to grant, we would have to deny based off the fact we were not able to meet that timeline.
Okay. We have any other questions on this portion of the amendment? Senator Wilikowski.
Not on that portion, Mr. Chairman. Just on the very first portion, which was page 2, line 23, and in this for fish and game, I was just curious if there was a fiscal impact from that change.
Could you please repeat that? I was flipping my pages. And
yeah, it's the first proposal there, page 22, lines 23. It's deleting the word regulatory and inserting permit application processing, and I was just curious if there was a fiscal implication to that.
Who do you want?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, there should not be any fiscal impact from that. We requested that clarification because the term regulatory cost isn't really defined and could be broadly interpreted to mean, you know, the cost of managing the fishery and so on. So we think it was intended to mean just the cost of processing the application in-house. And so we requested that clarification. It should not have any fiscal impact on us.
Okay. Any other questions on the amendment? Okay, I'll go ahead and remove my adoption of the amendment or objection to the adoption of amendment number one, conceptual amendment number one. Do we have further objection to the adoption of conceptual amendment number one? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Do we have any other amendments to discuss here?
I have one. Mr. Chairman.
And then I think just a second, the next Senator Olson might have one.
I, I have one insert that the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute may only use grant funds to market enhancement aquatic shellfish.
Okay, we have amendment. I'll object for discussion. We have amendment number two up for discussion. Again, just for committee members, we are not going to move this bill at the end of this hearing this morning, so there may be some items that you want to try to work with the bill sponsor with, but we're in the amendment phase, so you can, we will be bringing back, when we bring back the bill, we will still be subject to amendments, just so everybody's clear. We'll have a brief at ease. The Senator from Bethel.
Mr. Chairman, at your direction, in firm hand, I move that I withdraw my conceptual amendment, and I will work with the sponsor to get this issue adequately addressed in proper form.
Okay, I would ask the other committee members if they would consider holding off amendments till later. And that way we could, all the committee members could work with the bill sponsor on some of the amendments, and we can see what we can iron out. Apparently there's several amendments here that, and multiple same numbers, because there was committee members unaware of other committee members having amendments. So let's slow that process down a little bit, and we'll bring the bill back after the committee members have had time to work with the bill sponsor and refine their amendments, and this does not preclude committee members from making amendments when we come back, just so everybody understands, just so we have a more orderly process. And if we get to the conclusion of the bill, we'll have a more refined product. Is that agreeable to the committee members? Senator Olson, does that work?
What choice do we have, Mr. Chairman?
I'm flexible.
As the man from Bethel talked about the firm and stern guidance, we're headed down a direction.
Okay.
We'll support the chairman.
Okay, but Senator Wilikowski has some questions for the Department of Fish and Game. Correct, Senator Wilikowski?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
And if you could ask your question, and that would be appreciated.
Thank you. Just a couple questions. First question is just have there been any concerns expressed by biologists or scientists about interbreeding?
If the Fish and Game Division Director can help Senator Wilikowski with his question.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski. So our policy requires the use of local stocks. So these organisms would be derived from the the other animals that they may interbreed with. So they're not to be changed in any way whatsoever. They're just protected during the vulnerable juvenile life stage and then put back where they came from, basically, or an adjacent area that has a depleted stock or extirpated stock, you know, so another bay over, for example. So we believe that our genetic policy and our safeguards are in place. I wouldn't say that if we didn't have those safeguards in place. If we allowed somebody to take, you know, red king crab from Ketchikan and plant them out at Kodiak, then we could be seeing some problems. So we don't allow those things.
Okay.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And then do you believe there are enough wild crab stock to get brood stock for the hatcheries?
Yeah, through the chair, probably not everywhere. That will be the challenge. Is there surplus available in a depleted stock, for example, that we could allow enough gravid females to be collected to be used as brood stock? Now, keep in mind that crab mate in the wild, and so that's what you would be collecting would be gravid or impregnated females and just holding them until they release their larva, and then you would protect the larva. The females, presumably, if pathology would approve it, could be re-released back where we collected them.
And last one, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And then just on the funding, it looks like there's a zero fiscal note from commercial fisheries, there's two zero fiscal notes. Is there, do you have enough funds to make sure that we're protecting the resource?
Through the chair, we are told that our answer to that is yes. every new fiscal year causes us to question that. But at this point, we have the permitting people in place, and this would just be an additional type of permit that we would process, very similar to many other ones that we already process. So, to be sure, I don't expect that there's going to be an awful lot of these. This is going to be pretty low scale because the costs are very high, and there's no guarantee that the people who may want to do this will be able to recover their costs.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it.
Do we have any other questions for Fish and Game? Committeeman. Any other questions for Department of Natural Resources? Any other questions, concerns you want to put on the table before we set the bill aside for work? Maybe we can hear a little bit from the bill sponsor. We have some concerns from the committeemen. I've got some amendments here that I haven't had a chance to really look through myself. We got the bill sponsor, if you can come forward. Mr. Ortiz, Senator Representative Ortiz, I didn't see you sitting behind the Senate Finance staff. So good to see you back at the table to defend your bill.
I missed the photo, Mr. Chairman. I missed the photo.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Tragic event this morning. They're gonna have to shop me into the photo. But
we can shop you in with less glare. So we have, I don't know how much of the meeting you're in and out of, but we have several amendments. So I'd like you to work with the committeemen on those amendments. We'll see what comes out of those discussions, but we'll set this bill aside for now. Do you have any comments or concerns or anything you want to express to committee members before we do that?
None at this time, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely, we will get together with the different members of this committee and their staffs to address their concerns about some potential, their concerns or potential amendments that they'd like to see introduced. We're excited about the bill, but we understand that, you know, it merits further investigation and further discussion, and we're all about that. So we'll be on board.
Okay. I'll go ahead and remove my adoption of that conceptual amendment number one, just to make sure that's clear. So we've got the amended CS for the committee members to work on. Okay, so I see no concerns being expressed on that, just so everybody's working on the same document. So we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. I appreciate everybody coming and work on this. We're late in the day as far as the life of this legislature, so we're trying to move some legislation forward that we can, but not make mistakes. So just for the public listening, the bills, not only this bill, but in all of the bills that are in, especially in their later stages of either one of the two bodies, especially if it's come over from the other body, I would imagine with this truncated system, truncated legislature because of the virus, we'll be picking up a lot of these pieces of legislation next winter and continuing on trying to get caught up. But with that, I'd like to go ahead and recess to the call of the chair. I will keep committee members posted. I'm not expecting the need for the full committee to come back, but we will operate under that guidance from here out till the end, that when we finish our meeting in the morning, we'll just, as a standard, recess in case we need to come back in to take quick action. With that, we're in recess.